or so, we had a movie about A Reason for Joy by this Christian comedian. Talked about the real reason for joy was God's love. Well, I sort of changed that a bit. That certainly is true, and I'm using it in this way, saying victory is a reason for joy. And it really is. We see this in athletics. Thinking of the Olympics coming up, I remember a few years ago there was a girl from South Hill area where we are now, Megan Kwan. She won the gold, and it was a real joyous time for there. All her efforts paid off, and she won the gold as she had really put out the effort. Of course, we know the joy when the Seahawks win playoff games, and of course the downers when they don't, but there's joy in victory like this. Even in passing, temporary joy, still there is joy. Victory produces joy. And there's also a joy when I got my driver's license finally. You might think that, most people think I'm a careful driver, and I am conscientious, and why would he have any trouble passing a test? But I failed it three times. I had taken, the training courses in high school. So I went to take it. I passed the written test okay. I did good on written stuff. But I failed that driving test three times, so I just stopped. I think that's all I give you, three chances. And you can wait 6 months, but I waited 2 years or something, and I'll try it again. And I got it finally, and that was joyful. But getting the victory over something, it brings joy. And when you graduate from high school, that's a joyous time. You made it. You had victory. So victory, after you have it, is a time for joy. But also, if victory is assured, is a reason for joy. I want to read our text tonight, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 9. This actually is used in the New Testament, also in Peter's sermon. It foretells the resurrection of Christ. But I want to read part of it here. Verses 8 and 9. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. The reason his heart was glad and his soul rejoiced, because he was not going to be moved. He was going to have the victory. He was assured of that. And it was his reason for joy. And of course we have the scripture, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So victory is a reason for joy. And Christ was assured of that. He was faithful to God throughout his life. And he shares that victory with us. So it's a reason for joy, because it's assured for the future. You know, a story from when I was little. I don't bet anymore, but I used to. And we'd get into these betting things with my brother and sister. I don't think my sister did, but I forget what the details were, but the bounce would get bigger and bigger because you'd lose and you have to bet more. Well, I had my brother in a situation, I think it was Chuck, where he owed me a Google dollars. I didn't comprehend the size of that thing, more than the stars and universe and all that, but he owed me a Google dollars. And he wanted to do double nothing again so he could clear off that debt. But, and he offered me this this bet, and that was it was this, that he could drink a gallon of water. And I thought, that's a pretty sure deal. I don't think he can do that.
I didn't really stop him like his confidence, but he seemed to have confidence in that.
Some joy there. I don't know. I'm analyzing this afterwards, but so okay, I'll do that. Two Googles is worth more than one Google. So as soon as he made the bet, shook on it, he said, I didn't say how long.
So he drank a gallon of water, you know, it took him maybe a day or so. And he canceled that Google debt he owed me. But anyway, I'm just pointing that out. He had confidence ahead of time. He's going to have the victory on that one. And that sort of produced a joy in him. So you can have assurance ahead of time and have joy for that. I don't condone betting like that anymore, though. You know. Okay, I'm going to read some scriptures here about the victory we have. The victory we have, virtue we can be assured of. And we're probably familiar with most of these, but I want you to think about, in going over these, what is the real reason for our victory? First of all, I want to read in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. This refers to Israel and their physical warfare in conquering the land of the promised land. But I like to it's an encouraging scripture because I know God will be on our side in the same way as we fight our spiritual warfare. Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. It's a long chapter. Okay, this is the promise that Israel would follow God and be faithful to Him. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. So anyone who comes against you will fall because of you, because God is with you. They'll come against you one way, they'll flee before you seven ways, because God is with you. And He'll do that for us too. If we're with Him, we're obeying Him, our enemies don't have a chance. And it's not because of us, because God is with us. That's an encouraging verse to me. I think of that once in a while. Though it is referring specifically for the physical nation of Israel and their conquering the promised land and living faithfully God there. That was a promise for them. There's a similar verse, Romans 16, 19, 20, which is specifically for Christians. Your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. I would have you wise as to what is good and godless as to what is evil. Then the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So God is going to crush Satan under our feet when we are innocent and evil and wise to His will, doing His will. That's the promise. God's going to crush Satan under our feet. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, there are, of course, many verses about our victory, and these are just a few, and I just want us to be thinking about what's the real reason for our victory in this, along with these, you know, these important promises God has given us. 2:14, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. So not only leads us in triumph, our victories helps spread up His word throughout all the world. God, they can see God in our lives. It would be the same like in the Old Testament. The peoples round about Israel knew that God was with them because of the victories God was giving them. And of course we have Romans chapter 8, and I want to read it. It's such an encouraging portion of scripture. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read part of that, talking about our victory, that nothing can overcome us when we're in Christ. Romans 8:31, I'll read to the end of the chapter. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also give us all things with Him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are being regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He goes an extra major there, saying, I mean, you can't conceive any more things he could add there. Say, we have the complete victory. There's nothing that you can imagine that could defeat us. So we are more than conquerors. We are victors. And John 16:33, Jesus says, I won't go to it, I'll just paraphrase, it says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And John, 1 John 1:5-4, I want to read that one. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. In one more section, we can read many, but this is the last one I want to read now, is 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to be thinking while we're reading these about the real reason for our victory. 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. So victory is assured. Our faith is tested, and we must prove faithful. But we've remained faithful, the victory is assured. And we can have joy because of that, as it mentions here. Joy, rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. So we need to keep these things in mind. These things bring us assurance, and we need to keep those things in mind. If we're feeling down or whatever, these things are true, they're God's precious promises, and if we keep those things in mind, we're assured of the victory, and that naturally brings joy. Any victory brings joy. Assurance of that in the future also brings joy. It's just a natural thing. When we know and are assured of that victory, we have joy in our lives. But in these verses, what is the real reason for the victory? We could, might think of anything we accomplish and do, but the point here I want to bring out is the victory is faith, not that we do anything, that we've earned it. This is, of course, well known. But we can get the feeling that we haven't done good enough, or we haven't, haven't deserved this, or we haven't done that. But the only thing that's required is the faith, and as pointed out here several times in the verses we read, the faith assures us of that victory, faith in Christ, and because Christ overcame the world. As we saw in John 16, verse 33, where he said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Christ overcame the world by our faith in him, not that we overcame the world without him. He did. Our faith in him, he gives us the same victory. And because of that victory, we can have joy in our lives. But what about all the acquisition trouble we all have in our lives? What does all this opposition and trouble mean? Well, one thing we know, it doesn't mean defeat. Now, I can feel that way sometimes, and all this difficulty, get to feeling like, maybe I'm defeated. But no, it doesn't mean that. We just went over those verses and things. Overwhelmingly conquering Christ. He treats us as sons too, you know. We have discipline to go through. And he's refining us, he's helping us. But so there is going to be difficulties in God's plan for each of our lives. That he's working something in our lives. And we're going to be opposed. People are going to oppose Christ, so they oppose us. So there is going to be difficulties. But as we went over in those verses, it doesn't mean when we get in those situations we're feeling bad because of that, it doesn't mean that we're defeated. And whatever this opposition and trouble means, it doesn't mean that we have to be in despair. You know, that word despair, was one thing I picked out from the Anne of Green Gables movie was, she was in the depths of despair, she was telling the lady she moved in with that was adopting her or foster, I'm not sure what the actual thing was, but she was in the depths there, she was telling her, because she wouldn't allow her to do something or something like that. And the lady said, was sort of frustrated with her and said, to be in despair is to lose hope in God. And I thought, oh, that's pretty severe. And actually, looking up at it in the dictionary, despair means a loss of hope or confidence. So, when I feel that, do I feel that way? Am I in despair? I think it also means a connotation. You want to give up, and you're going to give up. But despair sort of had that knowledge with it. And I had the attitude, I'm going to keep trying no matter what. And then, though you're feeling down, it doesn't mean you're in despair. But anyway, that was interesting, and it caught my attention. We don't lose our hope in God. We keep trying, even though things oppose us. And that's sort of a perplexing thing in my mind there, so this scripture goes with it. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Paul's recounting a lot of troubles there. He says, you know, these things oppose us, but we're not in despair. And so, yeah, we can be opposed and have difficulties, but that doesn't mean we lose hope or have despair. And also Colossians 1:27 mentions Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we're in Christ, Christ in us, we have the hope of glory. And we're his by faith in him. And so we have that hope in us. That means the despair isn't there. And I actually, just thinking about it, you know, before becoming a Christian, what led me to Christ partly was, I'm losing hope. I'm not finding hope in anything. You know, it was sort of getting that way. Life was heading toward no hope. But in Christ, I found hope that can't be taken away. This opposition and trouble, a few more things about it. It doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. You know, some people conclude that, you know, things aren't going well. Well, God must not be faithful. And they think God doesn't like them, or God, if they believe in him, or they blame God, even though they don't believe in him. But it doesn't mean that. things can go wrong, still God's faithful. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says our faith is, though perishable, you know, people can lose their faith, it's tested, so it can, like gold is, so that it can be shown to be genuine. So God allows testing in our lives to show that our faith is genuine. We have the phrase we probably heard before. It says, don't give up on God. He hasn't given up on you. God's working in your life. God's helping you. Even this situation difficult, don't give up on God. He's still working something in your life for your glory, for your eventual eternal happiness. Hebrews 12, 7 through 9. Talking about discipline. God allows this to happen for our sake. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And if you are left with discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And besides this, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? The author of our life, the one who's given us life, shouldn't be subject to him and his discipline and really live. For he's working it out for our good. It's going to be for our good in the end, and we just hold on. Okay, another thing that the trouble and opposition doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that I'm any less of what I am in Christ. God knows what he got when he brought you in. He knows what work he had to do. I want to read Philippians 1, verse 6. Paul writing to the Philippians. And I am sure that he who began a good thing in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God, that's a promise there, but God is able to bring the work that he started in you to completion. He knows how to do it. He's able to do it. We just walk humbly with him and he'll do it. So we can have hope in God through that and joy. In John 3, 2, mentions that we don't know what the final product will be. God does. So I'm just paraphrasing. He knows what he's doing, and we know we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, the verse says. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to perfect the work, and he will bring it to pass. And there's a verse from the Old Testament, Psalm 73. One of, you know, of course, many verses. I'm just picking out a few. Psalm 73, one of my wife's favorites. Verse 24 is the particular verse I want to look at. It's been encouraging to me. It says, thou dost guide me with thy counsel, and afterward thou wilt receive me to glory. God is guiding us with his counsel now, and he's preparing us. He wants us to receive the glory. And even in the Old Testament, they had this promise that if they followed God's counsel, followed him, were obedient to him, he would receive them to glory. And that's what he's doing for us and working our lives. So that's an encouraging scripture too, along with many other verses in that psalm. and whatever this opposition trouble means, it can come in a variety of things and ways. It doesn't mean anything less of my right to stand before him. God has qualified us to stand before him, pure and innocent and able to stand in the judgment day. John 1, verse 12 to 13. Okay, chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He gives us the power to be His children by believing in Him. And that any trouble or opposition, difficulties cannot take that away from us. And Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of His glory with rejoicing, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. He is able to keep you from falling. He is able to make you be able to stand before Him without blemish in the presence, and rejoicing in Him, ready for Him. So God provides for us all that we need. He allows us to have all that we need to stand and not be defeated or overwhelmed. And God gives us the tools to do that. The church helps us with that. The fellowship, all sorts of things God has provided for us. God equips us. He gives us the armor of God to help us stand, as it mentions in Ephesians 6. So in summary about this portion, whatever the obstacle and trouble is, it doesn't mean we are defeated. It doesn't mean we have to be in despair. It does not mean that God isn't faithful. It doesn't mean that we are anything less than Christ. It doesn't mean that we have any less the right to stand before Him. And so are we assured. 1 John 5:4, I'll read again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So we're talking about victory tonight, and the victory is our faith. Faith in Christ who overcame the world. And He gives us that same victory. And because we have this victory, we can be assured, well, we have assurance of this victory through our faith. We keep our faith, we gain everything. We lose our faith, we lose everything. So that's a warning too. What's all required? Keep your faith. You don't have to do miraculous things. You don't have to do all sorts of steps to salvation. You don't have to be good enough. It's just faith. You have to be faithful to God. You have to endure. You have to be faithful to Him through whatever He brings. He's provide all sufficiency for us. That's all we need. We need Jesus. That's all we need. Our striving here should be not to be right with Him. He's provided that. We could never earn that. Our striving here is now with Him against the evil of this world, to be lights in this world, be faithful to Him. So faith in Christ guarantees God's promises, and our victory is assured. Whatever we face in life does not mean defeat. And because this victory is assured, we have a real reason for joy, and that joy cannot be taken from us.